Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday the 16th of January. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Plenty coming up, including the latest on those water supply issues in Tunbridge Wells. Plus, a Kent MP calls for gambling to be recognised as a public health emergency. And hear from Gareth Ainsworth ahead of Gillingham's game in League 2 this weekend. But first, this is our most read story on the website today. A woman who died in a motorbike crash in Kent just days before Christmas has been remembered as loving and free-spirited. Cynthia Franchak is thought to have been the pillion passenger on a bike that was involved in a collision on the A228 Pembrey Northern Bypass on December the 20th. A man also died. Well, reporter Joe Crosley joins me now. Joe, an incredibly sad story. Cynthia was just 36 and had a young daughter.
Yes, you're right. It is an incredibly sad story. Cynthia was originally from Zunchin, in the northwest of Poland, and she was a mother of one, as you say, of a seven-year-old. And from the tributes that we've received, it's obvious that she was really well loved by both her friends and family. A lot of the information that we have about Cynthia has come from her ex-partner, Craig Durant, who is also the father of seven-year-old D'Amica, Cynthia's child. He says his strongest memories of her were when D'Amica and Cynthia were spending time together, and that they had a really strong bond, incredibly strong bonds was his wording.
And Craig has also told us more about her work.
Cynthia was working as a dog walker when she died, and she lived in St Mary's Island in Medway. But she kept her deep connections with Poland, with family traditions. She made Polish foods at home and regularly visited the country, especially during school breaks. She also spoke to D'Amica in Polish, and they both attended a Polish Saturday school.
I believe you've also heard from a close friend, Joe.
Yeah, I heard from Alea Ramsey, who grew up with the 36-year-old and worked with her. She has set up a GoFundMe page for Cynthia to help Craig and her daughter D'Amica in the future and help them financially. She says that money could go towards helping Craig financially, as I said. Now he's going to have to be a full-time parent as well as working full-time. But also, in case D'Amica wants to go and see her family in Poland, it could pay for travel. So, yeah, I would urge anybody to go and check out the GoFundMe. It's really for a good cause.
And finally, an inquest into the deaths has opened. Tell us what happened.
I attended the inquest opening into her death last Friday. The court heard how she was likely to have been the passenger on the bike when it crashed, and that Daniel Bannon was most likely to have been the rider, although the area coroner could not confirm that yet. Daniel also died in the collision, which involved a light-coloured Jaguar car and a silver Ford van. The pair both died at the scene from devastating neck and chest injuries, the court was told. The full inquests into both their deaths has been adjourned for at least 28 days while the police continue to investigate the matter. That investigation is obviously ongoing. The force is continuing to urge anyone with any information to come forward, and anyone who might have dash cam footage, cam app or phone footage, I should say, that can be uploaded via the police online portal.
Joe, thank you ever so much. And you can find a link to that fundraiser that's been set up within the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and a person's been treated by paramedics after a fire broke out at a block of flats in Ramsgate. The building on Newcastle Hill had to be evacuated last night. 10 fire engines were sent to tackle the blaze. It's not known yet how it started. started. Burglars have stolen sentimental items, including World War I medals, after smashing their way into a home in Dartford. The house off Lowfield Street was targeted on Monday. Police say an investigation's underway. Hundreds of cannabis plants have been found being grown at a house in Deal. Police discovered a number of rooms in the property on the Strand had been converted with cultivation equipment set up. More than 300 plants were confiscated and the building's now been secured while investigations take place. Now, an update on those ongoing water supply issues that have been affecting Kent since last Saturday. Well, you'll be pleased to hear that the taps for residents in Tunbridge Wells, which was the worst affected part of the county, are finally flowing again. Overnight, South East Water storage tanks have refilled, allowing the network to operate as normal. But not before, we're told a calf at a farm in the town died from suspected dehydration. Nick Jarrett-Potts is from Bearlands Farm and he told us why a lack of water was such a big problem for them.
So the milk machine relies on a high pressure. To effectively run, and therefore without the high pressure the machine won't work and therefore won't supply milk to the calves. I asked for our line to be a high welfare line. That didn't come to fruition, and therefore, you know, we've been having to make up milk. They've turned it on for an hour at a time to help, but it hasn't really helped because they need it 24/7, you know. They said that they were going to come up and supply tankers and inject it into our line, but again, that they said they're too busy and haven't got enough tankers. So
now South East Water have continued to apologise throughout the outage, but they're now being investigated by the regulator Ofwat following the problems we had before and after Christmas. Katie Armstrong lives in Tunbridge Wells and she says they're just forking out for a service that's been inadequate.
I mean, we typically pay about £50 a month. It's dramatically increased, I would say, the last year or so. I would say that with the direct debits, I mean, I've seen so many people on Facebook and social media say, just, you know, hit them where it hurts in terms of South East Water, you know, just stop paying your bills. But ultimately, my husband and I, and I'm sure many others, we're saving to get a mortgage. And if you don't pay your bills, you go into arrears and CCJs. And I think just fundamentally, I just feel like I morally couldn't do it anyway. And yeah, so I mean, I think it's recently been reduced a little. I don't know if it's because of less usage, but I mean, that's down to about £30 a month. But even so, you know, the fact that we were paying 50 is quite a lot of money. And at the moment it's for little usage at all, really.
Kent Online reports.
Just after hearing about having no water in Tunbridge Wells, some rivers in Kent have flooded overnight after heavy rain caused water levels to rise. Ashford, Maidstone, Snodland and Edenbridge are among the areas impacted. Several alerts are in force with a more serious flood warning issued for land near Marden. The Environment Agency say they're monitoring the situation. Investigations are underway following reports a man indecently exposed himself at a park in Maidstone. It's said to have happened near an exit to Moat Park earlier this month. The suspect was wearing a red jacket, dark trousers and a grey hat. We're told a critical incident remains in force at Margate's QEQM hospital. However, a ban on visitors has now been lifted on several wards there. East Kent Hospitals Trust issued a warning about exceptionally high demand on Monday. They've been encouraging patients to use NHS 111 to make sure they choose the right service. And bosses say improvements have already been noted. Next today, the Sittingbourne and Sheppey MP is leading calls for the government to treat gambling as a public health emergency. Kevin McKenna's hosted a debate in Westminster Hall addressing how problem gambling has long-lasting and serious impacts on children. He's told members 190,000 between the ages of 11 to 17 are affected across the country.
The thing that I really wanted to explore today in relation to children and young people is how we should look at this as a public health issue and an issue of rising concern because of the changes that are happening to the way that people gamble, and people are gambling with all sorts of new technologies, and the country is Gambling With Lives, who are a charity that's here that's presenting us, that's been really, really supporting, I know myself and other constituents, other constituency MPs, and our constituents who've lost people. So a massive thank you to them and their support. And I know we've got Rosie here today, who lost her son a few years ago to gambling as well. I think it's so brave that people are coming in and really standing up for when they've lost people that are dear to them, really standing up and saying, this is something that has to stop, because it is needless. Gambling is, it's a human activity, it's a normal human activity, but in the same way that perfectly normal human activities like eating and drinking and frankly having sex are things that we look at through a public health lens because there are health consequences, gambling really needs to be treated in the same way. And for children and young people, I think it really helps to look at the two broad ways in which children and young people experience harms. People can experience harms from gambling directly because they're gambling themselves, which is in itself quite shocking, the number of young people who are actually engaged with gambling at a very young age. Something that stood out to me was when I met a young person in his early 20s who's now a real advocate, particularly for the impacts of gambling on communities that face high levels of deprivation and poverty. Started gambling when he was 7. Had a serious gambling addiction by the time he was going into secondary school, and it led to massive impacts on his schooling, on his education, on his relationships, and as he was trying to learn to handle his own finances in life. Now, I think we all know you shouldn't be gambling when you're 7. And I think as parliamentarians, we all know that law says you shouldn't be gambling when you're 7. But it's happening. And some of the ways it's happening are because the nature of gambling in our society is changing. The way that people can access gambling is changing. You know, it's not just that people are going to the old turf accountants, to bookies on the high street. There are many, many new innovative ways that people are accessing gambling. And while I welcome innovation, I don't welcome innovation where it causes harm.
Well, in response, Minister Ian Murray said £120 million from the gambling statutory levy will be used on prevention strategies.
Kent Online reports.
A care home in Chatham has been restricted from taking on new residents following a damning report by inspectors. The White House residential home has been rated inadequate for a third time and remains in special measures. The latest report follows an incident where someone sustained a significant injury. Concerns were also raised about risk of dehydration and unexplained bruises on some of the older people living there. Meantime, a care home in Maidstone has been placed into emergency measures after being rated inadequate. The Vale residential site on Willington Street supports up to 28 people with dementia. A report's found staff weren't always giving people their medicine safely, and one worker gestured at a resident to be quiet when they tried to communicate. The Care Quality Commission say they're monitoring the home to make sure improvements are made. Bosses in Medway have been slammed over the state of accessible public toilets in Chatham. One man called the facilities at Luton Rec absolutely rotten and unusable. He reported them to the council last October, but says that nothing's been done. Well, a spokesperson has apologised and said a cleaner has been asked to attend as soon as possible. Detailed plans have been revealed for the UK's first waste-to-hydrogen plant in Thanet. An energy company wants to build the site on land next to Manston Airport. It will be used to convert household and commercial waste into clean hydrogen as a low-emission alternative to vehicle fuel. Back to the Commons now, and the Dartford MP has spoken about the importance of investment in grassroots sports facilities.
In Swanscombe and in much of my constituency, less than 50% of young people are physically active, and that's only slightly lower than the national average, which is highly alarming. Under the last government, community sports facilities like Swanscombe Pavilion in my constituency crumbled with no resources to bring them back to life, reducing the available space for young people to be active, which is why I am particularly pleased to hear about the £400 million that this government is committing to grassroots sport facilities last June and has been mentioned today. Can the Minister provide an update of how this vital funding will be allocated, and would she agree to meet me to discuss this further?
Jim Dixon speaking there, and this was the response from Sports Minister Stephanie Peacock.
Thank you. Well, the government recognises that grassroots facilities are at the heart of communities up and down the country, and that is why we've committed to the £400 million to transform grassroots facilities across the UK. I'd be very happy to meet him to discuss how we'll be rolling this out. And I'd also say we recognise that too many children and young people are less active than they should be, and that is why we have campaigns like Let's Move, which aim to support children to enjoy being active from sport to play and everyday movement. And I was pleased to see one of these sessions in action myself before Christmas.
Kent Online News.
Tributes are being paid to a Kent football steward who's died just 7 weeks after being diagnosed with motor neurone disease. Dave Chalmers worked for Ashford United for more than a decade. The 55-year-old's wife has described him as an incredible family man and says his terrific sense of humour never left him, even in the final days of his illness. If you head to Kent Online today, you can see pictures of what a new Lidl store in Folkestone could look like. The retailer wants to move its town centre supermarket on Shelland Street to a new site at East Station Goods Yard near Southern Way. Computer-generated images have been released as council bosses consider the application. There are fears plans to remodel a golf course in Bidenden will see 50 lorries a day driving down country roads for up to 30 months. An application's been submitted for improvement works at Chart Hills Golf Club so the driving range could be used all year round. Highways bosses at KCC have objected to the proposals, though a final decision on the project is expected later this year. Some good news for the guys at a Kent Children's Hospice today as they've once again been rated outstanding by the Care Quality Commission. Demelza provides end-of-life support at their site in Bobbing near Sittingbourne. Inspectors have praised the exceptional care provided for children and their families. And finally, an entrepreneur is about to embark on a new venture, opening the first Caribbean takeaway restaurant of its kind in Maidstone. Mitchell Bennett has spent the last 15 years as a music promoter, presenting garage national events at venues across the town. He's now opening Jerky Worky on Bank Street.
This is Maidstone's first Caribbean takeaway, and it's going to be the first of many to come. The reason that we came here to Maidstone in the first place, because I've been working for Maidstone for about 15 years now, doing nightclubs events. One of our brands is called Garage Nation. We've been in the area and we've built up quite a good reputation in terms of our music brands. But what I've noticed over the years is that there's never been a Caribbean takeaway restaurant here. It's been a long life dream of mine. It's something that I've always wanted to do. So we came together, we've got the idea, we've got the concept. And now, luckily, we're going to bring some real home-cooked food, traditional Jamaican Caribbean flavours to Maidstone.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and bottom of the table, Newport County are the visitors to Priestfield this weekend. Gillingham have gone 2 weeks without a game after their match with Notts County was postponed because of a frozen pitch. Last weekend's fixture against MK Dons had to be moved as they were playing in the FA Cup. Well, let's hear from manager Gareth Ainsworth.
Really looking forward to it. You know, it's what we are, you know, footballers. And the time off. We knew the 10th was going to be off with the MK Dons FA Cup thing, but the Notts County game being called off, you know, caught us a bit cold on the Friday there. We were ready to set off, but they thankfully they called it off a day early, which stopped us travelling, which was great. But the boys, we've used this little break with, you know, a few little reminders of principles and what we are, and a few days off so the boys can clear their heads, and we've been training hard all week now, ready for Newport on Saturday, so we're looking forward to that. Can't wait to get going again, mate.
I suppose that slight break, in inverted commas, a lot of the players have had niggles, gives a little bit of rehab time, which then hopefully they come back into your plans for the
Definitely, Phil, you know, it gave us an opportunity to get these players who just come back. You're chasing your tail sometimes, you know, in the winter months, because with an injury, you're coming back, you're trying to get game time, it's really tough. You know, to put injured players in the team just to build up their minutes, and we haven't got a reserve team, you know, and it's tough, you know, in that position. So yeah, this last 2 weeks has really come at the right time for some players. You know, some players are getting their fitness up, some players have built up their strength where they've had injury risks and things like that. So yeah, we're looking forward to this one, and we've got a little bit of a busy schedule after, you know, and March and April because of the cancellations. But we have to deal with that as well. Yeah, looking forward to it.
I was going to say, that is the consequence of having a break. They've got to play the games at some point.
Yeah.
Are you happy enough to have that mini break? I say that in inverted commas.
Yeah, listen, it's a relentless game. It really is, you know, a full blast. And people aren't aware. It's a brilliant sport to be involved in. And I'm not saying that, you know, for 1 minute that we're not lucky people. Of course we are, you know, we love what we do. We're in the football game, which many people give their right arm to being, you know. But it gets relentless, you know, Christmas period and hotels and travelling away and just, you know, me and Dobbo have had a couple of late ones this week just because it's been transfer window time and we're trying to do the best for the club there. But yeah, it's it's nice to have a few days when you can get them. But you miss it, you do, you know. You match days is the best day of the week, and I can't wait for tomorrow and pitting my wits against Newport, which will be a tough game. You know, they all are in League Two, and we've got to be on our game tomorrow.
The Jewels are currently 16th in League Two. Staying with football, and it's a huge game for Chatham Town's women this weekend. They take on York City in the fourth round of the FA Cup on Sunday, and London City Lionesses are also in action in the competition. They travel to take on Sunderland tomorrow. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. And we've got plenty of info on the What's On pages if you're struggling to think of something to do over the weekend. Hope you have a good one. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.